Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. First Samuel 16 is the story of when Samuel was told to prepare to go anoint the successor to King Saul, who the Lord had rejected. And it says that the Lord says to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We ask that you open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the word of the Lord came to the prophet Samuel, and he said to him, "Fill your horn with oil and go." We are often called to do a task for God. We cannot successfully accomplish that task without filling our horn with oil. For the oil represents the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus met his disciples on the Mountain of Olivet before his ascension, he told them to go to an upper room and wait till they be endued with power from on high. This is that oil of the Holy Spirit. It is important that we are filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit before we go. I can do many things after I'm filled. I can do nothing until I'm filled. I can do many things after I've prayed. I can do nothing until I've prayed. I need the oil of the Holy Spirit operating in my life if I'm going to be successful at anything. And we're not just talking about ministry. We're talking about life. Amen. We're talking about our job. We're talking about raising our children. We're talking about loving people in our family that are not lovable. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Fill your horn with oil and go." Now, that statement, "go," every time I read it, I can't help but go back to the time when God called me in the ministry. I was praying and by a bed in Abilene, Texas. I had spent, I was on my second four-year term in the Air Force, planning on staying in 20 and retiring, and praying for a Friday night Bible study, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "Get out of the Air Force and go to Tahlequah and continue your grandmother's work." I immediately began to cry and sob, and then I began to have a negotiation with the Lord. He knew that my heart was to do ministry, but I had kind of decided that God didn't want me in ministry through various things, and so I had committed to a career in the Air Force. I was on my second four-year term. It was not a small investment of my life or my time. And so my response was, "Well, Lord, I was planning on staying in the Air Force." And God doesn't really need a lot of words. His response was, "Go." And I said, "Lord, what will my wife think?" And again, he responded, "Go." And my third challenge was, "Lord, who am I?" And his response was, "Go." And I said, "Okay, I'll go." And that statement, "go," you know, we read the Great Commission. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and make disciples of all people." God doesn't need a large vocabulary. A two-letter word called "go" is all he uses. And then it's up to us to obey. Samuel was told to go to the house of Jesse. But before he could go, he had to fill his horn with oil. And that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit this morning, the oil of the Holy Spirit, the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, you know, when people ask us what kind of church we are, I always use the word Babtecostal. because I was saved in the Assembly of God where there was a lot of shouting and a lot of pew jumping and a lot of tongues. And I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I've also seen a lot of crazy, goofy things done in the name of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it actually embarrassed me. And so, you know, we believe in the power of the oil of the Holy Spirit operating in the life of the believer, but we try to stray away from the horse and pony show. We want the oil of the Holy Spirit to flow and to fill us. We want to be led by the Spirit. But we want it to be the Spirit, not the flesh. Amen? And so we make the Word of God, give it its preeminence. We are men and women of the Word. And then the oil of the Holy Spirit brings the Word alive. Amen? And so that is our goal as people of God here at Faith Fellowship. And at times we need to talk about the Holy Spirit. It is a relevant part of the believer. In Genesis 28:18, we read that Jacob rose up early in the morning. He took a stone that he had put under his for a pillow, and he set it up as a pillar, and he poured oil on the top of it. Now, in the Old Testament, it was very common that they poured oil on things. It was this thing that represented God's presence in their life. Most of us know the story of Jacob's ladder. Jacob was sleeping. He saw a ladder ascending to heaven in this vision or this dream, and angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And when he woke up, he said, "This is Bethel. This is the house of God. This is where God's here." And I think it's really interesting that when Jesus began his ministry and he told Nathanael, "I saw you under the fig tree," and Nathanael was blown away that he could see him under the fig tree, he said, "That's nothing, Nathanael. After this, you will see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And so there's one of those many images of Christ in the Old Testament. Jesus is Jacob's ladder. Amen? And when we see Jesus operating in our lives, we can't see it, we can't feel it, we can't even comprehend it without the oil of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. And when we see and feel and experience God, we understand that it is the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, that makes it happen. Everything we get, everything we do, everything we experience as God is by and through the oil of the Holy Spirit. Amen? In Exodus 27:20, God is speaking to Moses, and he says, "You shall command the children of Israel, and they'll bring pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always." Everybody say always. And so we understand now that the oil of the Holy Spirit is also the fuel that burns the lamp of my life. Amen. Jesus said we are to be the light of the world. We are to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. We are to be the salt of the earth. And if I'm to be the light and the salt and the city, then I need the fuel of the oil of the Holy Spirit burning in my life. I need that. It's not something that's optional. If I am going to be the man of God, if we are going to be the men and women of God that God has called us to be, we have to have the fuel to do it. And I can't do it without the oil of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The oil is for the light, he said. The oil is for the light. I need the oil of the Holy Spirit. In Leviticus chapter 8, verse 12, we read that he poured the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. The oil of the Holy Spirit sanctifies me. That word sanctification represents being set apart for God. You know, God wants to set you apart. We are not to be like the world. We're not to look like the world. We're not to act like the world. We're not to blend into the world. We're supposed to be peculiar people. Amen? Some of us are more peculiar than others, right? What was that? Carolyn's been quoting Joanne's statement to me a few weeks ago. "Pastor, you know you're just not," what was that she said? "You're not right," or something. Yes, yeah, it's those years of children's ministry, I think. But we are to be peculiar people. We're to be sanctified, set apart, a chosen vessel to be used by God. And when a person is set apart as a chosen vessel, it means that God knows that he's got a tool over here. You know, a carpenter, a woodworker, a mechanic, one of the things that's an earmark of a good one is they take care of their tools. That's why I'm not a good mechanic, because Carolyn knows I'm looking, what did I do with that wrench, you know? But those guys that are professionals, they take care of their tools. They know right where their tools are at. So when they need this particular ratchet or this particular saw, they can reach over and they get it, and it's ready. Amen? And that's an image of what God wants to do with you and me. He wants you to be that sanctified vessel, set apart, ready to be used when God needs that person in that area, that he can just reach over and grab you and say, I know I've got this faithful, sanctified tool over here that I can use. And the oil of the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. When he poured it on Aaron's head, he poured it on his head and anointed him to sanctify him, to set him apart from the others, that he is the man to be used by God. We read in Leviticus 14:16 that the priest shall dip his finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and it will sprinkle the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand, the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of the right foot, and upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. So we see that the oil of the Holy Spirit cleanses us too. You know, we hear a lot of talk about the blood of Jesus, and of course we all understand the blood cleanses us from sin. But the oil of the Holy Spirit cleanses us in a way that the blood doesn't. The blood takes away sin, but the oil of the Holy Spirit takes away the desire to sin. It's a whole different cleansing. It's a purifying. It's a holiness that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we see that that oil cleanses us in a way that the blood takes the sin away, but the oil of the Holy Spirit changes me so that I don't want to sin anymore. It makes me like Jesus. It makes me like God. It creates a holiness in me. We read in Leviticus 24:2, he says, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee a pure oil, olive beaten in light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. And so we already talked about the light, but notice that word continually. I wanted to remind you that the lamp is to never go out. So not only is the oil the fuel for the Holy Spirit, but it is also that stick-to-itiveness. You know that many Christians have crashed and burned because of trials. And Jesus in the parable of the sower of the fig said that those seeds that didn't take root, you know, they didn't make it. Amen? It's those Christians that fall away, those Christians that don't have what it takes to finish. But the oil of the Holy Spirit gives me the light and the power to keep serving God continually. To keep on keeping on. My first pastor used to say, keep on keeping on when you can't keep on. Keep on a little longer. It's that stick-to-itiveness that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, one more. Deuteronomy 32:13, it made him to ride on the high places of the earth that he might eat the incense of the field, and it might make him to suck honey out of the rock and the oil out of the flint rock. Some of those old gospel hymns, some of those old Pentecostal churches, there's one about the honey in the rock. You ever heard that song? There's honey in the rock. I know you have, Viola. The honey in the rock and the oil out of the flint rock. You see, Jesus is the source of the oil, the rock. That doesn't even make any sense to the natural man. How can oil come from a rock? And you know, the flint rock is the one that was used, you know, beaten. Jesus was beaten. When you beat the rock, oil comes out. When Jesus was smitten, the blood came for the remission of sins, but the oil came for my ability be the light, to be able to serve God, to be able to have the power to look like Jesus, for my holiness, for my stick-to-itiveness. The oil comes from the rock. Now, back in the days of the Old Testament, the days of the prophets, Elijah, the Holy Spirit was not like it is today. You know, when Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit was poured out to anyone, the whosoever will. Amen. But in those days, the Spirit of God would just rest upon individuals more selectively. And Elijah was one of them. And there was a drought. The drought was because of Elijah. He prayed that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And he's walking along, and there's a woman picking up sticks. And this little widow woman that's picking up sticks does not know what's about to happen. Aren't you glad that sometimes God keeps secrets from you to test you, test your faith, test how you're going to respond? Some of you guys are here today, and you didn't know a year ago where your life would be. This woman's picking up sticks, and she's going to build a fire, and she has just enough grain, just enough a meal, and just enough oil to make one set of cakes for her and her son. It's a drought. It's her last meal, and she knows it. Like any mother, she's probably kept it from her son. She probably hasn't told him. But she knows this is it. And maybe she's already prayed for days and weeks and months as this meal has gotten lower and lower and as this oil has gotten lower and lower. And she's probably wondering, where is God in all this? And here comes Elijah. And he has the audacity to tell her to make him some food. And she says to him, I'm a widow woman. I'm gathering these sticks to build a fire, make a couple of cakes for my son and I, and then we're going to die. Just black and white, that's the way it is. Our last meal, and then we're going to die. And God always asks us to do the hard things. God always asks us to do things that are bigger than us, so that when we do it, He gets the glory. You know, I mentioned my calling in the Air Force. You know, I mean, my first sermon was 20 pages of notes in 2 minutes, and then I was done. God always asks us to do something bigger than us, so that when we do it, then He gets the glory. You know, it's not about me. It's about Him. And the woman says, we're going to eat our last meal. We're going to die. And then Elijah has the audacity to say, you fix me something first. And she had to exercise her faith. Faith untested is not faith. And so she did. She cooked the meal, gave it to the man of God. He ate it. And then he said to her, your oil is never going to run dry. Your meal's not going to run dry, and your oil is not going to run dry. And the reason you've not, some of you have never experienced the oil of the Holy Spirit in your life, is because you are not willing to give what you got. You know, that's a Bible principle, isn't it? Give what you got in order for God to give you more. Amen. Give what you got. Give it away. But Lord, you know, and it's natural. It's natural to want to hold. This is all I got. You're asking me to give it away? She gave it away. And the Bible says the cruse of oil never ran dry. Now, wouldn't you like the Holy Spirit to always just be flowing and flowing and flowing? You know, as I was preparing this, it reminded me of a story that the evangelist R.W. Shambach, I don't know if you ever heard of him, great faith preacher. He told a story about a young man that he prayed for who wanted a healing ministry like his. And God anointed this kid. He was like a teenager. Every time he would pray for people, oil would come out of his fingertips. Literally. And to hear him say it had happened years ago, and he's seen the guy as he grew up, and this gift of God that when he would pray for people, this anointing oil would actually physically come out of his skin. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It kept flowing. I need the oil to keep flowing. I don't want to just have Jesus on Sunday morning. I don't want to just have him on Wednesday night or at prayer meeting. I want him on Tuesday afternoon and Thursday evening and Saturday, and you know, and I don't want to miss those opportunities when God wants me to speak to someone and I'm busy thinking about something else. I need the oil to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And so I have to invest what I have in the kingdom if God is going to keep the oil flowing. And this woman invested, and the cruse of oil never ran dry. Never. Amen? Now, there's another great Old Testament story, and I want us to actually turn and look at it. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And you know, the difference between Elijah and Elisha, his successor, is really kind of one of those same things. You remember, before Elijah was going to leave, he asked Elisha what he wanted. He said, I want a double portion of your anointing. I want twice as much oil as you have. Now, how in the world, in the natural realm, can a man give someone twice as much as he has? If I got a $20 bill in my wallet and you say, I want twice the money you have on you, all I can give you is what I have, right? I can't give you $40 if I only have $20. But Elisha, his successor, had the audacity to ask the man of God for a double portion of that oil. Amen? And you know what he said? If you see me when I go, you can have it. You know what that means? Keeping your eyes on the prize. Amen? And so the successor, another one of these oil stories in 2 Kings chapter 4, of the successor of Elijah, Elisha, there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets who cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. This is a member of the Bible college that he knew, one of his associates. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be a slave. This was, they called it the creditor's prison or the creditor's jail or the creditor's whatever. And if you couldn't pay your bill in those days, they didn't repossess your car. They repossessed your kids and made them slaves. And so Elijah says to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? You know what? The Lord is asking you this morning, what do you have in your house? See, the Bible teaches that our house is our body. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What is it you have that God wants? What is it that you've been holding back? What do you have? You see, God has a principle. He doesn't just give you anything. He takes what you have and multiplies it. What do you have? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. All I got is this little jar, a little jar of oil. And so he says to her, go and borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. And what kind of empty vessels? Empty vessels. Don't just gather a few. The reason why God has not filled more people with more power of the Holy Spirit is because they wanted to jump pews and shout and sing and all these goofy religious things when people are out there, empty people are out there needing the oil that you have. Amen? And the illustration is here is, I'm not going to give you any more than what I've given you until you start looking for empty vessels to pour your oil in. Well, that's a good place for an amen right there. I mean, we didn't do this Jesus Jam to put on a show. We got to find empty vessels. God didn't give us this thing to hoard. He gave us this thing to share. Amen. And so he told her to go find empty vessels and not to just gather a few. Get as many as you can find. And when you come in, you shall shut the door behind you, you and your sons, and then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Now, the woman had to obey the man of God, didn't she? She had to do what he said. You know, sometimes people say, well, I wish the Lord would do this, or I wish God would speak to me like he speaks to you. Well, what are you doing with it? Amen? All right. So she went. from him, and she shut the door behind her, her sons, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. And so the oil ceased. The oil stops when there's no more vessels to fill. And now, she's still not real sure what Elisha's doing. So she comes back to him, and she tells the man of God. And so now he tells her, go and sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons shall live on the rest. You know, there's a lot of prosperity preachers out there preaching prosperity about how God's going to supply your needs. But I'm here to tell you how God's going to supply your needs. Start finding empty vessels and fill them with the oil of the Holy Spirit. Start pouring out what God has done in you into other people, and I guarantee you God will take care of your needs. Amen. It's time the church stop playing church and start being the oil-giving vessels that God has called us to be. The oil of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Psalm 45:7, you love righteousness and hate wickedness, therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above your fellows. People wonder why the church shouts and sings. They don't understand. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. When the Spirit of the Lord comes on me, I'm going to dance like David danced, right? And we do dance and we do shout. And there's nothing wrong with it. I don't want to get away from saying that, you know, make you think that, oh, well, you know, we don't want to do those things. But we want it to be the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. We don't want it to be a show. We're not out to try to look spiritual. But when the Holy Spirit comes on me, there is this joy and gladness that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's real. This thing is real. Hallelujah. It's real. It really is. And the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Isn't that awesome? I was singing that last week. The Lord reminded me of that old song, the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. You know, it doesn't matter what circumstances come in my life. The Holy Spirit, and Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will send the Holy Spirit and he will abide with you forever. Amen? The world didn't give it to me. The world can't take it away. This joy that I have, this peace that I have, comes from the abiding oil of the Holy Spirit. It's that oil of gladness. Psalm 89:20. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. You know, David is a type of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And he's our example. In fact, he never even began his public ministry until John the Baptist baptized him in the Jordan River, and then the Holy Spirit descended as like a dove upon him. And I find that very interesting, that if Jesus didn't dare step out into his ministry without waiting on the Holy Spirit, how much more do you and I need that oil of the Holy Spirit in our life? The Holy Spirit doesn't just bring us joy and gladness, he also brings us comfort. Isaiah the prophet wrote that to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that God would be glorified. You see, God gets glory in our lives when we allow the oil of the Holy Spirit to heal us and to comfort us and to give us joy when we mourn. We're going to mourn. We're going to have times that we have to grieve. We're going to lose loved ones. We're going to have failed marriages. We're going to have financial problems. We're going to feel the stress of this world, and we're going to cry. And it's normal to mourn. It's normal to express these emotions that God gave us. But Jesus said, weeping will endure for a night, but for those who understand and feel the joy of the Lord, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, joy comes in the morning. And Isaiah said, to give them the oil of joy for mourning. Amen? In Joel chapter 1, verse 10, it says, the field is wasted and the land mourneth. For the corn is wasted and the new wine is dried up and the oil languishes. It languishes. It means that the land was devoid of the oil. And we can see that happening in America. America, you know, I remember my father talking about, I think her name was Kate Smith, who would sing in the 50s on radio, God Bless America. Is that right? Somebody help me. Yeah. And you know, there was a whole different spirit in America in those days. There was no political correctness. On radio, on TV, God bless America. Right? And now, as Joel said, you know, the land languishes. There's no oil. The Holy Spirit seems to have diminished in our lifetime. As I was preparing this, I was thinking of, you know, that movie that we all grew up watching, The Wizard of Oz. And I was thinking about the Tin Man. You know, what's the characteristics of the Tin Man? He's cold, and he's hard, and he's hollow, and he has no heart. And what does he need? Oil can, right? He needs the oil can. And I know that's silly, but just picture that for a minute. That's a picture of some churches. That's a picture of some people. That's a picture of the body of Christ. And oh, God, send the oil, the Holy Spirit, to lubricate your church. You know, warm up your church. Put flesh on this cold, metallic mechanism that has become the church. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit. We need the heart of God. We need it. The oil languishes. The source of the oil, we find in Zechariah chapter 4. God gave Zechariah a vision. And I answered and I said to him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of them? It's a vision of these two olive trees in heaven with these golden pipes that come down. And they're actually coming down and they represent the two anointed ones, which are actually the two witnesses that will show up during the tribulation. But we know that God is the source of this oil. And there is pipes, and I know this is figurative, but we can understand pipes, can't we? We don't always understand spiritual things. We can understand things that run through pipes, so God gives us visions that we can understand. Some of those old Pentecostals used to say, I want to be, how is that, Viola? Underneath the flow where the glory glows. They had all these catchphrases. It's about being connected to the pipe, screwing onto the pipe, letting the oil of the Holy Spirit begin to flow in my life. That God is the source. God is the source. It's not the church. It's not all of these shenanigans. God is the source. Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will send another comforter and he'll abide with you, the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the source. He's the source. He's the pipe. He's Jacob's ladder. Come on up, Nola. And as we know that we are certainly living in the last days, we're not just living in the last days, we're living in the last of the last of the last days. Jesus is coming very soon. So this is more than just a, I need the Holy Spirit. This is a desperate call. Because Jesus in Matthew 25 told the story of 10 virgins. And of these 10 virgins, they represent the totality of the church. And half of the totality of the church is foolish. There were 5 virgins who were wise because they had oil in their lamp and it was burning and they were watching for the bridegroom to come. But the other half of the totality of the church, the foolish half, were sleeping and they had no oil in their lamps. They did not have the Holy Spirit operating in their lives. And oh God, we need the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. We desperately need it. And the imagery of the story of the 10 virgins is that the other half, the foolish half, don't make the rapture. They're left here. The door is shut, and they cry because the bridegroom has taken the other half away, and they're left here, and they know what they're going to have to face. So, as I said, this is more than just a casual, yes, oh, I need more of the Holy Spirit. This is a life and death, heaven and tribulation. This is a real thing. And it's relevant for where we're at today. Because we are days or hours or minutes away from the bridegroom coming. And we need to be the wise virgins. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need our lamp burning. And we need to be ready. Amen. Let's all stand. I want to give us time to seek the Lord. And if you want to come forward, you can, but you don't have to. You know, because God can touch you where you're at. I want us to pray, and we need to pray to the Lord who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. That word baptism means immersion. Many of us have been baptized in water. Most of us maybe have had a Holy Spirit experience. Some of us maybe with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But you know, the real power is the power to be a witness. It's the power to be the light. It's not the tongue thing. And whatever your views on all this is, you know, we're not here to try to make you see things the way. What we want you to do is leave here powered by the Holy Spirit to live the life that God wants us to live. Amen? And so as we begin to pray, I just invite you to just really get serious with God and say, God, if this is real, if there is a power that I have not experienced yet, in my Christian walk, since I've said I believe, if there is something that will quicken and make alive in me a part of me that I've never felt before, if there is an oil in me that will cause me not to be cold and hard and rigid like the tin man, but to give me a heart of flesh and open my eyes to a reality of God that I've never seen before, then that's what I want, Lord. And so let's pray and let's just take some time to seek the Lord and just wait on God for a few minutes. The hot dogs will keep. We'll be fine. Let's just give God a little bit of time now and invite the Holy Spirit in. Amen. As Nola sings, just pray to God in your own words and say, Lord, fill me this morning with your Spirit. Pour the oil from heaven upon me. Have your way in my life. Fill me with the Spirit today. Fill me, Lord. Not my mother, not my sister, not my brother. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need the oil of your Holy Spirit in my life. I need the oil from heaven to flow in me. Lord, place me underneath that spigot, underneath that pipe, Lord, and just begin to fill me. Lord, let me give away what I got so that I get more. Let me be willing to fill empty vessels with this Spirit that you've given me. Let me be willing to give up even my last meal, Lord, for the kingdom of God, so that you can fill me, so that my cruse of oil will not run dry. Lord, begin to fill me even right now with the power of your Holy Spirit. Begin to fill me this week, Lord. Let this sermon stay with me. Let it not be one of those that I forget and say, Pastor preached about last week, but Let the anointing oil of your Spirit begin to flow, Lord, starting today in my life. Let me see and let me hear. Let me experience God in a supernatural way in the days to come. Let it not be just business as usual. Let there be a change in my life by the power of the abiding presence of God through the Holy Spirit. Change me, God. Let me be that open, empty vessel, Lord, that you fill. Empty self from me, Lord. Empty myself. Empty me of myself, my self-will, my pride, my envy, my jealousy. Empty all those ugly things in me so that you can fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit in my life. Lord, I need it. I need it. I can't make it without it. I want my light to shine. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. And I know I won't be, Lord, unless the oil of your Holy Spirit is burning in my life. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your presence. Change me, Lord, for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Let's sing that one more time. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. And Lord, by faith today we thank you. There's never been a gift that anyone has ever received that they did not receive it by faith. By faith we received salvation. And today, by faith, we receive the abiding power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as we leave and as we go our ways this week, Lord, we expect to feel a special anointing in our lives, a special flowing of the oil from heaven. We pray, God, that you would give us the wisdom to use it, to invest it in the lives of others, and to be led by that same Spirit. We ask it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug.